Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of Uncancel Culture Podcast,
the Uncancel Culture Podcast. Yes.
Your host, Christina.
And also, Shaheem.
We're back. This is fun. I hope you guys enjoyed the first episode and the backstory on me.
Yeah, that was really good. I really appreciated the vulnerability.
It felt very therapeutic to find kind of like, I'm going to take this on the road. Maybe not. They might.
As a fake therapist, I co-signed that message.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, this is going to be, we're going to get into your story next. But we could do our first segment, the questions from the culture.
Yes. So for today's question from the culture, because mm-hmm. we're still waiting on some submissions, mm-hmm. like we said, you can submit at our email, theuncancelculture@gmail.com. That is where you're going to be able to submit your questions for the culture. And we will be, you know, we will be excited to engage what y'all think, what type of questions y'all mm-hmm. have for us. And today, because of our last episode, we are going to be focusing on what it means to be forgiving.
Right.
Like, how do you forgive other people when they make mistakes? How do we forgive each other? How do we move forward? And we think that this is an important question for the culture, just so we can establish some of the aims that we have as a podcast.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. That's been a big one ever since. So my master's thesis, I had to touch on restorative justice, or I touched on all the forms of justice, and had a case study. And when I was learning about restorative justice, I realized, oh, I ain't there yet fully. I'm not there yet fully. I'm like, I don't know if society, I mean, what my thesis had like shown was like society isn't supporting, like society's not there for restorative justice. And that's like a huge part of restorative justice. So I think because I realized I wasn't there yet, for me, it's like, how do I try to at least recreate that in my smaller communities, because I think the personal is political and the political is personal. So let me make it personal. And realizing the like imperfect nature of everybody. And if I believe everyone's indoctrinated, I'm gonna be shocked when someone acts indoctrinated. What?
Wow, they made a mistake. Let's throw them off a bridge.
So, right? I think prioritizing, I just try to take some of those tenets that I feel like I have the capacity from a sort of justice. Like, let's name the harm done. Let's talk to the person who feels harmed, the person who like caused the harm. Look at the action, look at the kind of the behavior and not villainize like the being, like the being a person doesn't embody the behavior or action. And obviously, I feel like we always have to make this disclaimer, not talking about evil, harmful abusers who systemically abuse, like, caught. Like, we're talking about in a very...
My hope is that one day with this podcast, people will stop feeling the need to make 1,000,003 disclaimers, because people don't assume that somebody is saying something negative, you know?
And critically think. Yeah. But I made that one. But yeah, just kind of like dissecting the behavior, the action, and making it, hopefully getting to the point where a person can acknowledge that harm is done and then what it looks like to move forward.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
It's really hard.
What about you?
And I think it's important to acknowledge that it's a hard and difficult question and topic to grapple with.
Right.
I, like, as a therapist, you know, talk about forgiveness.
You're a therapist?
Yes.
What?
According to the state of New York, yes. According to social media, sometimes no.
Okay.
They don't know whether which one it is. I talk about forgiveness a lot. In fact, even on my platforms, I talk about forgiveness a lot. Actually, some of my more viral posts are about like my takes and stances on forgiveness. Mm. But before I even get into how I feel about it, I think it's important to say what people are going to, like, I'm going to address a few things. One. Nobody, like me talking about disclaimers and not turn around.
Right, look.
Nobody is entitled to your forgiveness. You do not have to forgive anybody. If you do not wish to forgive anybody, you do not have to participate in the forgiveness process with anybody you don't wish to do that with. You are not forced, in no way should be forced, to have to deal with somebody who you wish not to be in community with or to align with. That is your right to choose. I'm not taking that away from what I feel. Okay. I also want to note Like, I personally do not believe that you have to forgive in order to move on from a situation. I believe forgiveness is a loaded term for several reasons. And, like, I will talk about weaponized forgiveness in a second. You give me a minute, I'm going to come right back to that. But I do believe, like, it's not necessary to forgive because you can just accept a situation for what it is and you can move forward with knowing what happened or that you don't align with somebody and that there is a life outside of that. That is grief on grief and grieving, okay? But weaponized forgiveness, right? Talking about grief and grieving. When people jump to forgiveness, it is dangerous because it can, like, take away the process of being angry, right? Angering is a part of grief and grieving. Like, placing blame where it needs to be placed is a part of grief and grieving. So being able to acknowledge harm, okay, is part of the whole forgiveness process. So you cannot jump straight to forgiveness. And I think so many people are scarred through dealing with things like religion. I'll be honest, like, the Christian religion has done a number on so many people. And this is no shade if you're Christian. Shouts out to you. I love Jesus too. But I do believe that Christianity as a culture has, like, done a lot of damage to people when it comes to forgiveness, because a lot of people carry around a lot of religious trauma. How many of us can tell stories of the uncle or the cousin or that family member or that family friend that did the inappropriate thing, but it's still allowed around because people, like, are going to tell you that you need to forgive and move on? How many of us have had our valid experiences, traumas dismissed because we were told that we had to forgive and move on for the sake of ourselves and if nothing else? I believe forgiveness is a loaded term. I'm starting there. And I like to practice as much as I can radical forgiveness, because I do believe that forgiveness is in many ways, like, something that should be practiced when it is applicable. I don't believe every situation is forgivable, but I do believe, like, a lot more are forgivable than what we give credit to and air and space to, right? Last week on your episode, you talked about how you said bullet bags in defense of yourself in the midst of so many threats and so much harassment. Could you imagine me, like, taking that and holding that over you for the rest of your fucking life? Right. A moment that lasts over this
one mind. Yeah.
A moment. I refuse to hold anybody to that standard, because I think it's frankly dehumanizing, because it does not leave space to humanity. And that is how I feel about it, which is why I think I'm personally capable of forgiving people. And you brought up something that I thought was really interesting. Like, should people who have done, like, things that have harmed other people be stripped from community? Do they change like that?
Right.
Do they grow? Do they get the opportunity?
I also think that this brings in something I've been thinking about recently is, they might not be the community for you.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they might not deserve community, though. Like, there's a lot of people I don't fucking want in my community.
Yeah.
That, and if you have your community over there and, like, that is where you're growing and that is where you're being a better person, or you can vibe, or you listen to them people, have them people. It ain't me, baby. Yeah. It ain't me, but you can still have it. Yeah. And that's vice versa, right? It's like, I'll have people in my community that I'm like, I mesh with them in a way, or we click in a way, or we can communicate in a way, or hold each other accountable in a way where it's like, maybe you don't, and that's okay also. Yeah. Like, realizing, oh, having community doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's in community together and all communities operate the same, has been something very recently that I'm like, damn, I gotta accept that. Okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that that person is a terrible, negative, bad person. Like, I might have just had a bad, negative experience with them.
Yeah.
Or we don't mesh.
I mean, even feeding off of that a little bit, like, I think it's important to acknowledge that, like, sometimes, and it's just the reality, sometimes you're just not going to fuck with people. And I think where carcerality comes into play is, like, when you feel like you have to get other people to not fuck with that person, too.
Right.
And I think if you don't, carcerality, y'all, we're going to break down. When you participate in, like, the idea that people need to be punished, disappeared, or fucking hurt just for making mistakes. Like, I think that shit is fucked up and it's tired and it's played. And that's exactly why, not exactly why, but it's part of why we're in the shit show we're in. And that is a byproduct of white supremacy. It's very paternalistic, and I don't support that bullshit. And I will say, I do think it's important that people go to communities that hold them accountable. One of the problems that we also face, like, often in society is that people want to be surrounded by people who don't hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I love the friends and the loved ones I have now is because they will swiftly sit my ass down and say, that was wrong.
Right.
A lot of us don't want to hear that. And a lot of people aren't remorseful for the shit that they do that hurts other people. And I personally... I agree. I'm not going to apologize unless I mean it.
I'm not.
But I do believe, like, forgiveness can't start until somebody is showing and expressing remorse. Yeah. So, but then where's the line with that? Because it's like, does a person have to bend over backwards to perform that for you?
So many layers. Performing forgiveness, performing accountability, performing apologies, which is why I don't agree. I'm not apologizing. I don't mean it because I'm not performing it.
Yeah.
You wanted to mean it. That's a good question, really.
Yeah.
That's really segued.
We have a lot of topics to cover, and trust me, we will be tackling all of this throughout this entire podcast. We got time, y'all.
Potentially with other people.
Yes. I can't wait to get to that part.
I can't wait to get somebody in the middle. So.
Yeah. So we might have a lot of guests on this podcast. Yeah. Just like keep your eye out and wait.
Because y'all be canceling people. So that's
it's too many to choose from, frankly. Damn.
Right? I'm Rolodex.
I think y'all done canceled my goddamn mailman last week.
Please.
At this point. Like, I don't know. Might get them on here next. But
I'm crying.
Yeah.
So our next segment is the hot seat. And if you remember correctly, the hot seat is the largest segment of the podcast where we discuss topics. Things, ideologies, situations, and sometimes people that have been canceled or had controversies or could be something that could get us canceled, right? It's a very kind of open open segment of whatever kind of fits in. But for this week, last week, y'all heard my little story with cancel culture, my big one at least, and my thoughts on it. And this week it will be Shaheem in the hot seat.
Oh my God.
The therapist, not therapist, who's therapizing. They don't know what I am. Pseudo psychology.
They don't know. Yeah. I don't look at some.
You do. You know who you are.
I do. Sometimes I'll be like, damn, if I was who these people said I was, I don't know how I would be able to look in the mirror.
Hello.
Okay. But I will say, I have been on the internet for a long time. So I started my social media, presence in 2014. And this is going to be for the people who were the throwback, Shaheem supporters, people who really was there from the very beginning. You're going to know I started off as petty black boy.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I was petty black boy on Tumblr. That transferred over to Twitter. I was petty black boy. Then I was petty Negro. Then I was briefly Marsha McClanahan. Yes, the white lady. That was me. Yes, I was so many identities online. And then I finally was just like, I'm going to just be Shaheem. I like that.
Five.
Yeah. I started using social media, a presence on social media in college, first year of undergrad, freshman year. Mm-hmm. And that transformed, actually sophomore year of undergrad.
Okay.
And it just has taken on so many transformations and transfigurations. I have gone through college, grad school, moves from, because I'm from Baltimore originally.
Yeah.
Downhill.
You, you can't say you from Baltimore without saying downhill. I associate
out to
that
down the hill.
In your,
that's
in,
my hood. I very much so love my hood. Shouts out to down the hill. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've been through so many transformations. So, and one thing I hope that my story can speak to is the complexity of growing up and changing on the internet. And I think our generation is the first generation that is seeing the first wave of that.
Mm-hmm.
But God bless Gen Z, because they really get the whole brunt of it. Having to grow up and change who you are as a person, your ideologies, your stances, getting the experience of life on the stage where thousands of people are watching you at a time.
Right.
It is
millions. And when you get it like that, no.
It is nerve-wracking. I'm gonna be honest with you. But I am gonna just do the tale of many do-rags, which is
Please.
The sagas. Because I have been canceled a multitude of times. And frankly, every demographic of people you can name thinks that I hate them. I've been accused of hating Black men, Black women, Black dogs and cats. I've been accused of hating lesbians. That one's strange to me. I've been accused of hating gays. I've been accused.
Being one?
Yes, sorry. Yes, yes. Non-binaries, although I am also non-binary. I've been accused of pretty much hating. Damn, I would think that I hated my mama too. She do get on my nerves though. Shouts out to you, Ma. But I think my first big experience with cancellation, and I'm gonna be honest, this story is really touchy for me because this was my first time learning the very hard way that people were waiting for an opportunity to pretty much ripped me to shreds. Like, yeah. This was my first time really experiencing it. And I will say, like, I have in many ways participated in this culture. And this was, like, my first check with reality. Like, yeah. Oh, this is how this feels. So I'm going to make it very clear. I'm in no way, shape, or form perfect. I don't think I'm nobody's victim. I think I'm just somebody who had to learn some lessons the very hard way. So I'm going to say a name, and it's going to sound very scary to all of us. So just bear with me when I say it. If you know, you know. If you don't, I'm going to explain. Emo Black Thought.
No!
Yes, Emo Black Thought. Oh, my God. So.
Get into it.
If you're not familiar, Emo Black Thought is this, like, very big, and that was like actually one of the markers in a huge shift that happened in internet culture. But Emo yeah. Black Thought is this really big Twitter account that pretty much like was masquerading or for what all of us thought was a Black woman. I'm going to tell you how I came to know Emo Black Thought. When I was in college, mm-hmm. I'm a first generation college student. I was first generation college graduate now. Here. But I was the first in my family to go to college. I'm from the hood, obviously. So like I didn't have any financial supports. I was really like getting it out the mud. And in my senior year of college, I was commuting back and forth from home to school. And I got into a car accident. And the car accident, like, it had the potential of stopping me from being able to graduate because I didn't have any other way to get back and forth to school. Senior year of college, which was a mess. I was even couch surfing at some point. But the whole point being, when I did a GoFundMe to raise funds for me to start getting, for me to be able to get back and forth to school, Emo Black Thought and I had connected because they had shared my GoFundMe. Because my platform was, I had a platform of sorts, but it wasn't by any stretch of the imagination big. Like I had like maybe 15,000 followers at the time, I think. And Emo Black Thought, who had over 150,000, if I remember, right. followers, like boosted it and it was shared. And not only was my goal met, it was exceeded. So I naturally was like, this person has like really, I didn't know who it was behind the account. I just knew that mm-hmm. this person right. had like helped me to like raise the money I needed to finish school. Okay, so that's first. Fast forward to 2019, I see like this person like making these very depressive tweets. Right. Mind you, I don't know who this is, but this is somebody who helped me. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? Like, how can I help? Like, I think at this point I had moved to New York. Like I had graduated. Not only had I graduated, I had worked in Baltimore for a little bit and then I had moved to New York. I had made the move to New York. I'm like seeing these depressive tweets of them saying, oh, like, I'm scared of revealing who I am, like stuff like that. I'm like, da 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 da. Like, they are making the most depressive tweets ever. So I reach out to them, like, hey, like, I'm just letting you know I'm here to support. Like, this is somebody who helped me, just a reminder. So I'm like, hey, what's going on?
Right.
And they're like, I'm scared to show you, like, what's up or who I am because I'm scared of what it's gonna mean. I'm like, okay, tell me what's up. They're like, okay, can I text you? I send them my number. And they wind up shooting me a text message and they show me who they are. Then we eventually get on the phone and they are telling me their entire story mm-hmm. or what I thought was their story. Let me start with that. They tell me his name is Isaiah, mind you. He revealed that he was a man.
Right.
Not only a man, but he was a light-skinned man right. who was kind of parading as a dark-skinned woman. Like even he even had tweets talking about having endometriosis, right? Like,
Not the method acting.
Endometriosis. Yes, it was a mess. I'm like, oh my God, like, why are you not, like, why were you not public about, you know, asking my questions. I'm like, why weren't you public about this to begin with? He says he is bisexual. He revealed that he was bisexual on the account. Once he came public or came forward publicly about who he was, he would be revealing not only to the world, but to his mother, who he already had, like, his, like, dicey relationship with, that he was bisexual. Mm-hmm. So he would be coming out. Anybody, look, I know how y'all feel, but we all know when somebody outs somebody, it is not, you are getting, I think he was like 21. He was on the younger side, because mm-hmm. this is back when I was 23. Mind you, I'm 30 now. So like, what, this was years ago. But he's like, oh my God, where was I?
I don't want to come out because...
Yeah, he would be revealing himself as bisexual, not only to the world, but to his mom. And I'm like, okay, I definitely don't support in outing people. But then he also had sent me this news article where he was, like, basically racially profiled. Not profiled, but he was racially, like, attacked at his school. Like, he was a part of an organization, and these white boys from this white fraternity had, like... were threatening to lynch him and stuff like that. So he said that he had came online to literally, like, with the guise of being a black woman, which he obviously was not, because he did not want anybody to know it was him, so he did not get harassed. And I'm just eating this shit up. I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little naive back then. Okay. But another, and this is a really important part of the story too, because what I also asked him was, like, I asked him, I said, you didn't receive any donations though, right? Like, he said, no, I did not receive any donations from this account. Because naturally, it's like, it's one thing to just be hiding your identity, right? Then it's another thing to be using the identity of, like, a black woman to get donations and money from an audience, which is, like, likely to be primarily black women, because you are parading as a black woman. He says no. I'm like, okay, well, that changes things. Like, you are, He lets me know that he let a lot of other people know. I will not say their names because I don't need them to be wrapped up in the drama. Right. But people who you know, he let know. Mm-hmm. I mean, a long list of people who you know, he let
know. You know.
Yeah. And, like, shouts out to those people. They kind of threw me under the bus. Or they didn't throw me under the bus, but they let me get the heat for what they also supported. Because I know a lot more people than what you know supported it. Okay, but that's a longer story for another day. And that don't need to be brought to the light, because it is what it is. But then it comes to this idea of, like, how he's going to reveal himself.
Right.
Y'all, and I promise you, with everything I have in love, I told this boy, I said, you need to write a notes app, a notes app apology, need to just reveal it that way. He's like, no. He wanted to do a grand reveal, which is why he eventually, like, landed the whole paper magazine shoot.
Oh, no.
And I said that was a bad idea. I said it was a bad idea.
It's giving drama.
He moved forward with it anyway. And I will note, he was also friends with Lil Nas X. I'm only saying that name because, like, that's public information.
Right.
He was friends with Lil Nas X. Lil Nas X is somebody who he helped to boost with his platform. Mm-hmm. And he witnessed, like, basically, Lil Nas X go from, like, a Twitter user to, like, this celebrity overnight. Shouts out to Lil Nas X. Love you down, Bookie, if you're watching this. But he saw that's no shade. Like, he saw Lil Nas X go from, like, a Twitter user to, like, this, like, overnight sensation. And I think he just wanted parts, if you want me to be honest. And with that, he wanted to do this big reveal. I said it was a bad idea. He did it anyway. I even made, and I'm gonna own my shit. I had made a tweet, like, leading up to it, like, y'all are gonna gag, something along these lines. I'm only speaking in how I speak now, but, like, I said something basically like, y'all are gonna gag when y'all see who it is. Like, I'm, like, egging it up.
What's the timeline from when you, like, found out when he?
So I found out, like, maybe, like, I want to say at max 5 weeks before the reveal, and that's another misconception that a lot of people have. A lot of people thought I knew for, like, a long ass time. I did not know. Like, I knew for a very short period of time. There are people who knew way before I knew.
And you, right after you spoke to, you were like, you need to let people know.
Yeah.
Like, you meet like this. And yes. he wanted to draw it out with this drama. And you didn't really know this person for real.
No, I did not know him at all. This is somebody who helped me to raise the money I needed to finish school. So that's where my loyalty in the situation was coming from. And I'm supporting him because I'm like, yeah, like, you know, and I'm definitely not going to participate in outing somebody. I immediately encouraged him to come forward. I said, no sap apology. He said, paper magazine shoot. I said, all right, whatever.
Okay,
hey, your life, not mine. I'm living my own life. At the time, my father had two massive strokes and like it was so much happening in my own life that was just like the least of my concerns. I actually remember I was going, like when he told me, I was on the bus on the way back home to Baltimore to handle some family business. I'll say that much. So it was a lot happening for me. So wasn't central in my life. I just was like passively helping him. The reveal happens. For the first like 15 minutes of him revealing his identity, people were gagging. People were like, oh, yay, da, da, da. Those tweets went down almost immediately. And hell cracked open. And people were dragging him for filth. And you know what he did? He deleted them accounts and he deleted his presence and he disappeared. Guess who did not disappear? Me.
You.
So it was open season for me. Yeah. I immediately, though, I jumped on a live, like, and I was on live and I was just talking to a bunch of black. Yeah.
Okay.
I forget the name of the app. It used to be this app you can go live on Twitter with. But, like, I jumped on a live, me and a bunch of black women. They're, like, holding me accountable. They're like, you shouldn't have did this. I'm like, yeah, he told me that he was, like, bi. I didn't want to out him. I'm, like, breaking the whole thing down. I'm listening to the black women who were harmed by this, obviously. And, like, a lot of them were like, okay, cool. Like, you are taking accountability. But so many people, like, that was brought up for years. And mind you, this is, like, almost 8 years ago.
Right.
And I don't give a fuck about it now. But, like that was like a really big stain on my online presence. Mm-hmm. But like, frankly, I think a lot of people struggle to believe or understand that I was manipulated just like everybody else.
Right.
And the reason why I had mentioned earlier that like he said he didn't receive donations from like the account. And this really like let me, this is when I really realized like, oh shit, I was just like manipulated. One of my close friends in real life, like who I went to college with, texts me and is like, and you need to tell him he needs to send me back the $20 I sent him for a donation.
Oh my God.
And that shit was so embarrassing to me because I realized like, wow, this nigga just played me. He played in my whole face. And here I am taking the brunt because he tucked his tail and ran. And I had to sit and face that for years.
Like
and,
his proxy.
Yeah. And I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that I think if I could go back in time, I would have handled that situation completely differently.
Right.
In fact, that is one of the situations that taught me, like, sometimes you do have to have, like, some strong internet boundaries. Like, and I felt like I owed him because of, like, how he supported me, like, in finishing out school. And that just, like, bit me in the ass.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean.
Interesting. The thing that's coming up for me, which I guess you can speak to, is it brings up parasocial relationships.
Yeah.
And you might mention boundaries. And I'm also thinking of, like, what does accountability look like for someone that you don't even know? Like, you just met him.
Yeah.
For, you know, and actually, you never met him.
No.
You just found out who he really was a couple weeks prior. And this random person that, boosted your GoFundMe and, you know, had a valuable moment in your life that helped you out tangibly.
Yeah.
You didn't know him from a can of paint.
I did not.
You didn't know her from a can. You thought it was her from a can
I
of paint.
It was
and
her.
Then
yeah.
you didn't find then you found out in real time it's a him and all and he dumped this story on you. And then you're telling him you need to tell people this. And then he stalls it out for a huge magazine.
Yeah.
What is the line? Like, yes, boundaries, right? And handling it differently. And what's also the line of like, y'all, I don't know this person. Just
yeah,
like y'all,
I mean,
you know.
It was like such a like harmful experience like that. I'm not gonna hold you. Like it's very few things that I look back and say like that actually changed my life a lot. Like because it really hurt me.
Yeah.
Like that really hurt to see so many people like have such strong and it still happens to this day. But that was my first real experience with like people having these very strong negative feelings about me.
Right.
And a lot of people felt very vindicated in like their hatred of me, which they already had. But and that was just like used to it was weaponized against me for so long. But that's just cancellation numero uno.
Yeah.
What the second great cancellation? Oh my God!
Are you trying to go in chronological?
I am. So I would say the second great cancellation came when I said the controversial words that a lot of people wish never left my mouth, which is that people pleasing is a manipulative behavior. Okay, we're jumping forward some years now. Okay.
I will never forget. Listen, that.
Let me say this. Somebody has said, and I still laugh at this. I cackle at this to this day. And this person is one of a couple people who try to say this about me, and they like really try to gag. They're like, "Oh, like Shaheem rebranded as a therapist." I'm like, rebranded. I graduated.
Rebranded. You rebranded with a whole degree and a career, like that's a rebrand for real.
I graduated and got in my career field. That's what that's called. Like in the normal world, that's what we call that. We don't call that like rebranding.
I think you should start saying that. Yeah. 4 years ago, I rebranded with my degree.
Yeah. it just really speaks to, again, like the troubles of growing up on the internet. Like right. A lot of people, like, it's so accusatory. Like, right. Even when you are doing human shit, like, people accuse you of rebranding or doing something with the intentions of, like, building an audience when I'm just simply living. Like, even the GoFundMe for the car accident that I was in, even though it had pictures of my car totaled, they were like, this is a scam. And I said, exactly what proof do you have that it's a scam?
They associated that with Emo by Cop scamming. Yeah.
Well, no, that was separate. Oh. They just said it was a scam. That's it. That's all they said. Like, they didn't even they didn't even attach those two things. They just said I was a scammer. I mean, I've heard so many rumors about me on the internet. Some that are because of the Emo Black Dot thing. A rumor that somebody tried to circulate is that I tortured Black women in my basement.
Shut up.
I live on the second floor apartment in Brooklyn. I don't even have a basement.
I don't even have a basement. You know how much money you need to get an apartment in Brooklyn with a basement?
I said, I don't even have a basement. I don't wear it.
Those are the generational homes.
But just people be saying silly shit. But when I said years later, after I became a therapist and I was public about it, I was like, yeah, like people pleasing is a manipulative behavior. You know what they said? They said that I was a fake therapist. Like, people were trying to bring up the Emo Black Dot situation several times, which is like, I don't really care if you bring it up because it's like, I'm not going to apologize for being manipulated. Like,
right.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But because all of us are susceptible to that. And I think that's another thing too.
To be manipulated?
All of us can be manipulated.
Well, that person manipulated hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes, but they thought that I was above it for some reason.
Okay.
And that me... And I mean, I'm definitely open to whatever response people have because, you know, I'm willing to listen to people about it. But like a lot of people just like, they didn't think it was possible. I had to be nefarious for some reason. Right. And even though I too was like manipulated by this person, like I was somebody who was perpetrating. And I know like a lot of Black women, and this is me taking accountability when it was leading up to it, like they felt... like I was like really defensive about his identity because I was like, this is somebody who helped me. And this is where I went wrong because I'm like, put my neck on the line for this nigga for real. And yeah, like I was like, yo, like you got to wait until he talks about who he is. Like, cause a lot of people had questions and like, I know a lot of people felt like silenced by me or whatever. And I think that's valid. Like, and it was,
I guess I could see that it coming off like, oh, you're going to gag who when you see what it is. Yeah. And like, it coming off as something that you knew the entire time.
Yeah, I get it.
And then,
I definitely fucked up. Fucked up. And it is what it is. I think, you know, people are allowed to, and I've said this from the very beginning. I will say this much. I said, people are allowed to, like, if you don't want to support me, you don't have to support me. If you want to, you can't. Like, I can only continue to live. Like, I can't, like, and this is another thing. I think a lot of people, I'm going to say unalive because I don't know what we're allowed to say. Mm. Some people want you to unalive yourself when you make mistakes.
Well, they tell you that, literally.
Yeah, they do. And it's like, I can't just, like, unalive myself, like, just because you don't want me, like, because you're mad at me. That's like, crazy. I have to live. And I grew from the situation. But fast forward to me saying that people pleasing is manipulative. One thing that also happens with me when I say things that people disagree with is that I become all types of uneducated in the years of work, the 6 years I went to school, and the 3 years of like practice to get, like, I've been practicing for 5 years, mind you, but like the 3 years, like post grad, when this was all said, like people just like lost it. Like I was like, they said that my education, like that I was a fake therapist, that I wasn't considering that people pleasing is a trauma response. And even when I said like narcissism is a trauma response, like lying can be a trauma response. It doesn't make those things any less manipulative. Like,
right.
And it's not to say that, like, and I even clarify, like, I don't think like that people pleasers, people who perform people pleasing are inherently manipulative. Yeah. I think the behavior is.
It is.
You're being dishonest about your needs. You're being dishonest about what you want. You're not giving people the opportunity to show up to a relationship authentically. The kicker is, and this is the kicker, I am not the first, second, third, 85th person to say this. Like, this is just like very Google, it's Googleable information, right?
I had seen that. To clarify, I had seen that take before you even ever said it. It would, and I'd seen,
somebody asked me about it because they saw somebody else say it. And
right,
I was like, oh yeah, no,
and
that's
it
true.
Was received well when that.
Yes,
it was received differently when the other priest and other people had said it.
Yes, and that's, you know, I'm sure you can relate to this. Like people, like people don't even have a problem with the message. It's just really the messenger. Because, like, what I'm saying is not even revolutionary. In fact, I would argue, like, none of the shit I say is revolutionary. Like, there are a few things that I think, like, I've contributed to, like, the mental health space for real, or the social media space where I push the needle. But, like, there are not many things that I've come up with. Like, it's just things that I've learned. Like, even when I said that calling your son the man of the house is, like, emotional incest, I got told that I was like a fake therapist because emotional incest is the real thing.
I remember that too.
You can literally Google it. Like, it exists.
You know,
like,
they can't Google. They just know how to go on Twitter and TikTok.
They be confusing me. I say all of this to say, like, yeah, it's been a few times that I've met the blade of social media where they feel like I am unworthy. And yeah, I could get into a million more stories, but the main one I think that cemented all of the other ones is like the first one, which was Emo Black Thought.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know all of that.
Really?
Not to that detail. See, I'm getting in real time with y'all. I am, which is kind of...
Does it change how you feel about me?
No.
No.
I do think y'all gonna gag. Cause like, I can literally see in my mind's eye, y'all gonna gag me, find out who it is. And people being like, nigga, so you knew the whole... Misstep.
They ate me up.
But I could see... You mean like it's a gag. Like, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. I could see that. And
I'll take my L. I will. Yeah.
That was also 8 years ago. Like, what are we? I think it's really moot to be like.
Not many people bring it up anymore though.
Right. Like, but it cements kind of who you were, who you are, your presence online and parasocial relationships. And the way that people, I think, when you were talking about he just removed himself online and then you became the proxy.
Yeah.
I think it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And whether or not you be like not, shouldn't you should not have said, or like y'all gonna gag or like, we'll listen to a story. Right. Doesn't make you the proxy for what he did. But if people turned you into that because they wanted to be mad, and some people just sometimes need to be mad at something or someone.
I do believe there's a certain degree of accountability that I take for it. Like I own that. Like, I don't think I handled the situation as best as I could. And frankly, I wish I handled it differently. But also, I was like a fucking like 23-year-old like who just was getting out the fucking hood, trying to make a dollar out of fucking 15 cents. This person helped me. And like, I was coming from a vulnerable space and I'm not used to getting a lot of help. And frankly, like, I know now that everybody who helps you out is not, they not your ally. Everybody who does is not. But like, yeah, it's a lesson that I needed to learn.
Did you feel like you owed him?
I did. Especially my younger mind. I thought that I owed him. Yeah. And I own that.
Well, then yes. And also, this ain't a therapy session. I'm not the therapist. But I'm like, if you're
not. I'm not either.
There's no therapist at this table. If you're at like a spot where you feel like, oh, I owe this person. Like that.
That's probably
you the one with the degree, but my mind is like, you probably feeling like some type of like, well, they did this for me. And I've personally, I've had people with accounts who've helped me with stuff leverage their leverage their help.
Oh, I know.
Oh, because I told you that.
Trying to get you to stop being friends with
me. Yes. Talking about, I helped you that one time, da, da, da. Well, you know, I just have a lot of connections. So,
mind you, we're if in you, real life
I was
friends.
Like, whoa, wow, that's, crazy. I ain't even met you. I'm touched. I break bread with this person.
But yeah.
Anyways, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Being canceled. That people pleasing one, though, let me say, I'll say it. You don't have to say it. Y'all was wild. And it had to have been people who never stepped foot in a therapist's office because therapists will tell, my therapist done told me, your triggers are your responsibility.
They are. Yeah.
When they are, that hit me though. I felt triggered, yeah. but I said,
But can I say?
What?
A lot of people since that moment have come to me and say, you have completely shifted the way that I view people pleasing, and you changed my life with that one post. So y'all can hate me, but so long as I made the impact that I was desiring to, I don't give a fuck.
It was important to,
yeah.
It was an important like reflection. And it was, besides the people mad, there were so many people who were like, as someone who chronically people pleases or had before, I had to face the fact that I was trying to manipulate an outcome. And it didn't change the validity of the trauma it came from.
Yeah.
But if I'm trying to do better,
amen.
That's what it is. And sometimes people don't like the messenger. And you could just say that. I think if people just said that more, I'd respect it. I don't want to hear you say that. Period.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. So our next segment.
Next segment is the uncultured of the week.
Oh my God, yes. Who is your uncultured of the week?
Not that there was anyone in this particular week, but I just want to talk shit and trash Aubrey Graham.
Yeah.
Oh, is that, are we double teaming him?
No, I have my own, but I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's been so uncultured for a while. And let me tell you, when my first like inkling of him being uncultured started is when, why are you texting a 15, 14 year old talking about, I miss you so much? And she talking to you about
we
boys.
Friends. You are a grown ass man.
I said, oh, start the documentary now.
Hashtag surviving Aubrey Graham coming soon. Coming to a theater
like,
near
hello.
You.
And can you cease and desist this right now? No, because Millie Bobby Brown, the one who did the interview. I'm just saying her
words, baby.
That is crazy. He
it was
been
God planned to show you the liar, okay? Ooh. Shouts out to Kendrick Lamar.
Doom, 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 doom. Since then, I said, oh, he wilded. And I just saw it was, and then he corny. I also dated a Scorpio.
He'd be like this. You know, the ducklist. You are 46. Grow up.
Right. Are we perpetuating problematic things right now?
Probably. Nuance.
Multiple things can be true. When it comes to you, I'll do it. No, yeah. Like, and it really solidified when I dated a light-skinned tall man from Toronto who loved Drake.
This might be a little biased, but that's okay.
It's very biased. But I said, oh, he probably act just like this. And he was Scorpio. It was light-skinned Scorpio, man from Toronto who loved Drake. And I said,
girl, that's a demon.
He was also Jamaican, 6'10", and played basketball.
Was dealing with demons. You can't blame nobody for playing with witchcraft, baby.
I was. And I said, oh, and this is who Drake probably comes from and acts like. So I just know, I feel like I had a personal experience in the city.
You described a demon. Oh, Lord, get it away from me.
That's a whole other story. Mm. So I was like, that, and I know how your people act. Light-skinned Scorpio Toronto man. Trash.
Jamaican, too. Sorry to everybody Jamaican.
No, not sorry.
Big up Jamaica, but like, baby, those combinations shouldn't go together.
Y'all know how you act.
It's like a Jamaican and Nigerian. You can't put those two consonants in the same space. They don't connect.
Mesh. They don't.
That's unethical.
They share ancestors for sure. That's Jamaicans and Nigerians definitely come from the same tribe.
Okay. My uncultured of the week, and I know y'all knew this was going to come eventually, Amy Schumer. I cannot stand Amy Schumer.
Say it.
That Zionist, like, oh my God, that Zionist shit that you pulled, in the kitchen the other day.
Mm.
Don't you ever do that shit again. I really cannot stand Amy Schumer. I think she is the epitome of mediocrity. And I believe that she is beyond a redemption. And frankly, I don't even have to say very too much. She speaks on her own for how awful of a person she is. really posting racist posts, like standing on it, doubling, tripling down. It's forever up and stuck with me and you, Amy. You don't even know who I am. And that's cool. I'll keep this this beef one-sided. I'm okay with that. Yeah.
I'm okay.
It's a parasocial beef.
Nuance. I keep nuance. This beef one-sided, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, similar to what y'all be doing to me. It's okay.
Ooh.
I got my own.
Ooh. Okay. Wow, that was a good one.
Yeah. Okay, so our last segment is going to be Cancel Court, where we argue for 1 minute who we think or what we think should be uncanceled, okay?
I didn't think about this again.
Girl, come on.
No. Because I can't keep up. You do the timer again. Because okay. I'm Googling what's been canceled.
Not you Googling what's been canceled. I already got mine. Wait, ooh. I think I don't got mine no more. ADHD, y'all. Be whooping my behind.
I don't think I got mine. I think I have. What was that? What was that?
Christina is going to go first. And your time starts now.
Lovecraft Country, the show.
Oh, agreed.
I still think about that. I said, bring it back. Please bring it back. That would, please. I don't know who I need to talk to. I don't know who I need to talk to to get water bottles at a fire festival. We could talk.
It was so good.
It was such a good show. And we could just recast. We could find somebody who looks civil rights fine. We could find somebody else again. That's not an issue. We got a couple people on the line. They coming out with new ones.
Oh.
Every day. Every day. That show was so lovely, so beautiful. It showed the Black experience, Black American history in such a very sci-fi, fantastical way. It had elements of hoodoo, elements of history, elements of realness. And it, not in a way that was like just trauma all the time. It was so fucking beautiful. And the map that she posted for season 2.
Yeah.
And we never going to be able to see what that was going to look like.
I don't think that's
fair. Please bring Lovecraft Country back, please.
Okay, that's your time, Suge. You ate that.
Thank you.
I think we should bring it back. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to start my timer now. Y'all, it's time to uncancel Ice Spice. Listen, hear
Whoa.
Me.
Whoa.
Hear me now.
Whoa.
I understand how you feel, but you cannot sit up here and tell me that Deli does not hit. Y'all say that she does the same thing over and over and over. I disagree. Listen to her projects. She has a diverse...
Project.
listen to her project. My sister, she do be coming... I think she be having cute bops. Like, and what's wrong with a cute bop? Why does everybody have to be, like, as lyrical as Kendrick Lamar or Adochi, you know? Everybody can't... You know, we need to have our little girly bops on the side too. I love Saweetie. Okay.
I love Saweetie.
I think it's space in this hip hop space for people like Ice Spice. And I don't think she's as problematic as people have painted her. Although I do think she has done problematic things. Nuance. Let's wake that back up.
That's okay? Her time. That's that was time. Given the why does everyone have to be lyrical was given beautiful gowns. You said, why does everyone have to be lyrical? Again, I went to the street and I bought. And I went to the deli and I flopped.
Look, and sometimes I don't want to stretch my brain that much. And that's right. I agree with that.
I do think it was crazy that she went to the steakhouse and didn't bring Cleo Trap. Like, that was
that
wild.
Is crazy. First off, I love Cleo. Shouts out to
right.
Cleo.
Right. I said, oh my God. Steakhouse?
Y'all need to sit down and work that out.
To the steakhouse? She had to go get McDonald's and McDonald's canceled. Matter of fact,
Ice... You did Cleo wrong. You need to go right that wrong.
You should bring her a steak.
Bring her a steak and mashed potatoes.
Not banquet.
And the cream
Not
spinach.
Banquet. Not Nicodemus's yeah. banquet. Salisbury steak.
You need to bring my sister a plate.
Hello.
Work that out.
Hot.
Okay. Yeah.
Not microwave.
And apologize to Dochi.
What's she doing, Dochi?
Her text about Dochi. I love you down, but I ain't defending you against that
what
one.
Was the text?
She was making fun of the booty drop song.
Ice Spice was making fun of songs.
Oh.
So, no.
And that's our podcast. No. Bye, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Beautiful. Anyways.
Yeah.
Follow us on the socials, uncancel.culture.
Please.
Thank y'all for coming on this journey with us.
I promise I'm not colorist, and I'm just joking most of
the time. Well, you are light-skinned.
I am a light-skinned person, so it is hard for me to beat those allegations. But
we didn't talk about that. We have so many cancel code stories.
We have so many
moments. It'll come up. It'll come up in multiple episodes.
We have more time, y'all. Thanks for joining us on this journey.
Thank you so much.
Bye, y'all.